Turn to Ephesians chapter number 2, one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. I'm going to read 10 verses. Probably won't deal with all 10. Probably deal with about the first 7 verses, and then 8, 9, and 10 I'll do tonight. And I don't want you to miss tonight, because I want to tell you what God thinks about you tonight, what you are tonight. And so be sure to be here tonight for that. If you got your Bible, say amen. Wave them at me. Do something. Amen. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know, sometimes I think we need to do something. Travel back to where you were. Something's happened to us. We somewhat have settled in. But I want you to know something. We were wicked people. But look at this verse. But God. There's not a better conjunction than that in all the Word of God. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Amen. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we, and I'll deal with this tonight, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Can I give you a little story as way of introduction to introduce my title? There was an illiterate couple, very backwoods, illiterate, couldn't read or write, got saved by the grace of God. Someone came into their little shed out in the woods and simply explained the gospel to them. And that illiterate couple, who could not read, write, couldn't, got saved by the grace of God. By the way, salvation is so simple that anybody can get it. Amen. Yet, many stumble over it. Am I right, Colton? It's so simple, yet so profound that many folk just stumble over it. There's people in this room. You've been under conviction. Some of you years under conviction. And you know what you've done? You stumbled over the grace of God. And it's so plain today. God wants to save you. This silly couple, the husband, joined in with a group of Christians who were all dressed alike. He could see they all had red, and they had something written on their shirt. And they did a project at the church, and he came, and they made him an honorary member and put that on him. And he went home, and he asked his wife what it said. And she didn't know, and they called the preacher and asked him what it said. And he said this: "You're under new management." Can I tell you something? In chapter 1, you'll get that in a minute. In chapter 1, it talks about the reality of being saved. It said we were in Christ Jesus. We were chosen in Christ Jesus. Somebody's helped me preach. It said we have the forgiveness of sin. It said we're predestinated to adoption. We're predestinated to an inheritance. In other words, God saved our soul and changed our life. And now we're not under the same management. We used to be under the devil's authority. But since we got saved, we're under new management. Jeremiah 13 said this. Can an Ethiopian change his skin? Or leper his spots? Well, I want you all to know, no, they can't humanly. But I do want to tell you, if you're in this room under my voice lost, I got a God that can change your life for the better and deliver you from your sin and translate you into the kingdom of his dear son. Somebody say amen. That's what my God can do. Man can't do it. Religion can't do it. The Baptist can't do it. No. This is a Jesus thing. This is a real deal salvation. Let me give you three things. And I really want you. And Christian, now you might think this is just for the lost. Actually, it isn't. It's for you. Some of you's lost your shout. Some of you's lost your joy. Amen. Some of you's lost your thrill. Amen. Some of you's not where you used to be. You know why? You done forgot where you came from. If your mind could just go back to your sinful, rotten state and see how God delivered you from sin, you'll get your joy back. You'll get your thrill back. You'll get your tear back. I tell you, we got to examine where we were and where we are. By the way, Ray, it's good to see you. Let's look at this passage now. Let's do an exegesis of it. Now, verses 1 through 3, and I'm really going to bear down on this. I want to talk about the pitiful nature of man's sin, or ours, past state of sin. Verse number 1 really says, lost men live a wretched life. Ladies and gentlemen, we didn't know what living was until we got saved. By the way, we were dead in sin. The Bible said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. You know why you're not going to heaven? You know why you're not getting your prayers answered? Because your sin is standing in the way of a holy God. Amen. Lost men live a wretched life, verse 1. And I'm going back over this, so I'm going to really make it clear. Verse 2 and 3a, lost men live a wayward life. You know why you did some of the things you've done in the past? Because you're lost. You know, and actually that doesn't bother me because that's the way you're supposed to live. But here's what bothers me. There's some Christians living like they were in the past. God saved you from that. God saved you from the bottle. God saved you from drugs. God saved you from illicit sex. God saved you from pornography. God delivered you from all that junk. And you ought to live like you have. You ought to live how you are today. Somebody say amen. I'm going on. Lost men are under the wrath of God. Now this ought to scare everybody in here. Do you know what right now? Every one of you are living under the wrath of God that's unsaved. And Christian, that's where we were. You said, prove it. Well, he that believeth is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Amen. But can I give you a good verse? It's skipping my brain. I'm sorry. Let me quote it. There is therefore, I got it, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, in chapter 1, the reality was we were in Him. In chapter 2, something big happens. There's a revolution happens. You come from a kingdom of darkness, and you're translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Let me go over those verses a little clearer. Can I do that? Some of you Christians ought to get hold of this. See, lost people are dead. How many believe that? But now, listen, can I explain what death is? Death is not, spiritual death is not being like a corpse. Now, the Calvinists say you're like a corpse. That's why they believe you got to be regenerated before you're saved. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life. But see, our condition was we were, what death, spiritual death is, listen to me, here it is. It's you're separated from God. I'll give you the best example. In the garden, Adam and Eve. As soon as they took of the fruit, they died spiritually. What were they lost? They were separated from God. They were in the garden. Why did they have to go sew fig leaves on them to hide their nakedness when they were naked all along and didn't bother them? I'll tell you why. They were now separated from God. But I want to give you some good news. Now, Calvinists will tell you can't do this, but I'm a Baptist and I believe the truth and they believe a lie. I'm going to tell you what God done. God moved into the garden and said, Adam, how many glad today God called you? And I'll tell you what, God calls every sinner. Amen. He said, Adam, Adam. You know what Adam said? God talked to him. I thought God couldn't do that. And then Adam said, here am I. See, they were separated from God. When we died spiritually, the image of God was not destroyed. It was only damaged. You still have a will. You still can respond. Now, you can't respond without the conviction of the Spirit. You can't respond without the hearing of the word. But if you have those two ingredients, you can respond even though you're dead and separated from God. Amen. Amen. Not only that, sinners are deceived by the progression of the world. Verse number 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You know why some of you drink? You know why some of you are influenced by the world? You know some of why you're not saved yet? Because you are being influenced and you're deceived. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, how many of you, can I ask this, how many were saved over 20? You were over 20. A bunch of us. How many of you over 20 that got saved, if you knew what you knew at 20 before that, how many wish you'd got it sooner? Well, say amen. Why didn't you get it sooner? Because you were deceived. There's some of you been walking out of this church the last couple of 3 weeks, lost as a goose. Lost. And you want to say, why? You're here in a plain presentation. Why are you going out the room lost? I'll tell you why. You're deceived. Because I know if you ever receive Him and get to joy and get delivered and get saved and get washed in the blood, you'll say, hallelujah, I wish I'd have done that a long time ago. Amen. Then not only are we sinners are deceived, am I preaching? But sinners are depraved. Verse 3a, your appetites are depraved. You want to know why sinners act like they do? Because they're depraved. They're depraved sinners. They're totally depraved. Now, they don't have total inability, but they are depraved. You say, well, I ain't that bad. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't run with those that do. But I want you to know, you may not do any of that stuff, but you're still lost, but you're capable of doing it all. Thank God you were spared of it. But you're capable of all of it. Good preaching. Then verse 3b, sinners are doomed. Look what it said. I mean, it said, among whom also you had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Y'all want to know where the devil's going? How many of y'all know where the devil's going? He's going to the lake of fire. He's a doomed devil. Sinner, you're a doomed sinner. You are on your way to the lake of fire. You are going to burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever in hell because you're doomed because of your sin. Right at this moment, you're under the management of the devil. There's some of you Christians ought to raise your hand and shout. But you're not. But now, what in the world can change everything? Look at verse number 4. I want to get up and shout so bad. But I'm trying to be really, really pinpointed tonight, Lois. I am this morning. But God. Can I ask you a question? Where would your life be if it wasn't for but God? Some of you are successful businessmen. Some of you have wonderful homes. Some of you have wonderful children. You have a wonderful life. Do you think you'd have had that life if God didn't butt in? But God, who is rich in mercy. Now listen, let me explain it. Sinners, Jonathan Edwards put it this way in his great sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. You are right now dangling over the lake of fire. And the only thing that is keeping you from the lake of fire is the thread of mercy. God is showing you mercy, not letting loose of the thread and allowing you to burn forever. Somebody ought to say, man, but God, where would you be if it wasn't for God? Where would you be if it wasn't for God? Where were all of us? We were doomed in hell, misery, probably living in liquor and lust and ungodliness. But God intervened.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Let me show you three things in verses 4-6. The glorious provisions of our Savior or our present standing through salvation. Boy, that's good. Verse 4, he gave us love. There's a man who used to go to our church. I won't say who he is. His family still goes here. And they may not even know this. But when he was a boy, he told me that nobody in his family, he was raised kind of, not bad, he just raised that they didn't say, I love you. I remember when I walked into the hospital, he was real sick, and I said, I love you. He said, you know, my mom and dad never told me that in my whole life. Though I knew they did. But I want you to know something, ladies and gentlemen. The devil might try to deceive you this morning, but God loves you. He loves you. I remember the story of a drunk man that was heading to the Lake Michigan above Chicago to drown himself. And he was on his way. He was drunk in a stupor. And he passed by what they call, and it's still there today, the Pacific Garden Mission. How many's heard of that? It's a wonderful place. And someone helped him in the door, and he was drunk. They give him a meal. They give him a bed. They explain the gospel to him. And the next morning when they had sobered up, and Harry Monroe was transformed by the grace of God, then became a permanent fixture there and became their preacher. And what are you saying? Somebody loved him. Somebody brought him into a shelter. Can I tell you, there's a God in heaven that doesn't want you to go to hell. There's a God in heaven that don't want you to live miserably in sin. There's a God in heaven that loves you. But not only does he give us love, but look at verse number 5. I'm about ready to shout. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Not only did he love us, he gave us life. Now, the Calvinists say you get the life before you're saved. He said, by grace are you saved. I got the life as soon as I received the grace of God and received Christ as my Savior. I was quickened. I was transformed. That's what God will do for you today. And it's not like a big lightning bolt from heaven. It's not like you're being pinched. No. It's just right now, some of you people that's lost, you've got a desire to be saved. You didn't have it before. Why do you have it now? Because the Holy Spirit's dealing with you now. You don't want to go to hell now because you're hearing the truth, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what God wants to do is give you life. Amen. I'm the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. And he that liveth and believeth in me, boy, we've got, find me a mule, shall never die. Now, I'm going to preach something to you. If you let God save you today, you will never be lost again. Amen. You don't have to live it to keep saved. Now you live it because you are saved. But ladies and gentlemen, you'll be saved. You'll be eternally secured. You'll be sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. You're on your way to heaven the moment you trust him and he's given his life. You're on your way to heaven. Somebody help me. I'm under new management. Some of you Christians ought to be shouting because you used to be in that state. But now you have a standing in Christ. Woo! Let me read some more. Verse 4, he gave us love. Verse 5, he gave us life. Look at verse 6. I'm about ready to get loose here. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He gave us a lift. You say, where are you at right now, preacher Smith? I'm up in heaven, seated with Christ Jesus. I am a king's child. I'm in him. Listen, hey, Colton, you believe this? And he's in me. I am in him up there, and his Holy Spirit is in me right here. It can't get no better than that. See, when God saved me, he put me under new management, and he changed everything. He lifted me out of all my sin, all my ugliness, all my filth, and seated me together with Jesus Christ and lifted me up in heavenly places. That's why every once in a while I want to shout. That's why every once in a while I want to praise him. That's why every once in a while I get a thrill. That's why every once in a while heaven starts dwelling down here, and I can't stand it. So I'm going to preach a little bit more, but I'm about to kill myself now. All right, number 3. And I'm only going to give you one verse here. Woo! Number 1. We saw the pitiful nature of man's sin. Then we saw the glorious provisions of our Savior. We saw our past state in sin. Now our present state of salvation. But I want to talk to you, and we'll do more tonight, on the precious promises to the saints. Woo! Hallelujah, and I'll give you one. Look at verse number 7, and I'll finish. that in the ages to come, he may show the exceedingly riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a new destination. Let me tell you what we're going to experience, or what we won't experience. We won't experience no death. We won't experience disease. We won't experience sorrow. We won't experience separation. Have you cried lately? We won't have any tears. We'll spend eternity with Jesus. We'll be in a city 1,500 miles square. You say, why? Because I am now under new management. Now I'm wrapping this up. I'm wrapping it up. If you're here and saved, raise your hand. If you're saved, raise them up. Now I want you to know something. You may not be experiencing it and you may not be living it, but you're under new management. And you've done been delivered from all that junk. Why are you still living it? A sinner? You're still under the same dictator, the devil. He's got you. And what he wants to do with you, he wants to confuse you about religion. He wants to confuse you about that you'll be all right, wherein you really know that you're a sinner. And you really know if you die, you're going to hell. But you know this now. You can't deny it. I told you there can be a change. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. I told you there can be a reality, a revolution. Right. Amen. And God can save your soul. Yeah. Question. And I'll cover it some tonight, but I'll read the verses. By grace are you saved. Yeah. Through faith. Now, grace is a revealed gift. So the Calvinists say faith is a gift. That's not true. Faith comes by you hearing. Amen. Now, if you haven't heard this, and you don't, listen to me, you've heard it. And I personally believe most of you sinners here know it and believe it. You just haven't got it from here to here. Am I preaching? Somebody help me. Not of works. Look at me. Look at me. You can't work for your salvation. It's not your church. Not your baptism. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not being better. Amen? It's being saved. It's by you who have now. Well, here's what God has done. God has sent his spirit in here and brought you to a place where you can believe. And he has let the scripture go out in such a plain way that you can believe. I can't understand if you don't understand it right now. Amen? Amen. How many people understand? Pretty plain, isn't it? Now let me ask you something. What are you going to do with the information you just got? Are you going to go ahead and live for the devil under his management and not have a heaven and not have a reunion and not see your loved ones and not see those that went on before, not see your wife, not see your husband, not see your kids, and die and go to hell? Or are you going to come to your senses through the power of the Holy Ghost this morning and say, I don't want to live like this anymore? Maybe you had chances years ago, but hold it. God's a God of mercy. And he's giving you another one this morning. Bow your head with me. Heads bow, eyes closed. I'm just trying to make it simple. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Again, I want to ask, saved people, raise your hand. Thank you. Man, there's a lot of lost people here this morning. Let me ask you something. Why go ahead and be doomed and on your way to hell and devilish when it can be different? How many sinners in this room? You've heard me preach. You know that you're a sinner. You know you're on your way to hell. But this morning, God has showed you you don't have to go that way. And you want to go to heaven. And by the way, you can make up for all the wasted years. You can just trust him this morning and be brand new. How many unsaved people raise your hand and say, one thing I know, preacher, I know I'm a sinner. And I know if I die, I'd go to hell. And I want you to pray for me. Raise your hand. Every sinner in the room, raise your hand if you don't want to go to hell. If you don't want to go to hell, raise your hand. If you want to be saved, raise your hand. God bless that hand. Somebody else. Young person, mom, dad, you heard the gospel plainly. Just slip your hand. Say, I don't want to go there. I know I want to be saved. I came to church today because I got a desire. I came to church today because circumstances have brought me here. I know I need to be saved. One more person, slip your hand. Let me pray for you. Yes. Somebody else. Stand with me. Quietly. I would wish you not leave or move too much if you could. Keep from it. Heads bowed. Pray. I want Christians to pray. Now, sinner man, sinner lady, please do this. I want you, maybe there's somebody near you. Just tell them, I want you to go to the altar with me. Or if you want to come by yourself, just come. I want you to slip out of your seat right now. Quit fighting this. Heaven's sweet. Heaven wants you to be there. Young man, God wants to save you. Ain't no use you dying and going to hell. So right now, Father, right now, convict those lost people and draw them here for salvation. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen.